honest, Jeff Duff, otherwise known as Duffo.
Duffo.
And it's your fault. You introduced me to him.
Well, at least you got some decent music on for a change. Come on. Hey, how about that wailing stuff you have sometimes on the day?
We've got Arthur. Arthur Reed is in. And how do we describe Arthur? Arthur is Uncle Arthur, R4.
Overweight. Overfed. Yeah. And over here.
Is it your museum? Yeah. It is yours, isn't it? Not your wife's.
It belongs to the family now.
Yeah.
All of them. Hundreds of them.
We've got loads to chat about, but just tell us about Duffo.
Duffo? Well, yeah. But you see, going back to them times, right, you had so much rubbish stuff on the radios. Anything that came out that was different was guaranteed to be played and guaranteed to be listened to. And something like that, totally different. Got to listen to that. You can't not listen to it. It's just totally different. I mean, you put it on the radio, what does it do? It makes people smile.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
I mean, and talking about smiling, we got somebody got an empty chair next to me here, haven't we?
Yeah, she's not here.
Yeah, Queen Shirley.
Yeah, she's having a difficult pregnancy.
Queen Shirley should have been here, but she's home all alone. She's got trouble with her Newington butts, can't move far from her throne. But I know... You shouldn't have laughed. You stopped me in mid-flow there. Move on. I'll just tell you this little something to put your mind at ease. I know she'll be fine for Saturday because it's my turn to buy the teas.
Ah, right. Yeah. So, she's you got her sussed out, haven't you? We do hope that Dame Shirley is...
I hope she's fine.
Hopefully she'll be back next week.
Yeah.
And when... I don't know when she's having this baby, but...
Well, I don't know. I think Mick's polishing it at the moment, isn't it? The car, that is.
You got loads of poems and stuff.
It's just a silly thing. It's just things that people do, you know, when you're bored, which ain't very often, you sort of sit down and just think, oh, I'll write a poem.
Well, look, what I'm going to get you doing in a minute, because I'm getting a bit hot now, I'm going to turn the fan on. Is that all right?
I'm going to turn the fan on
when you start your next poem.
Yeah.
So hopefully it'll be...
Well, if it's cold, it'll go well with the poem.
Okay.
The poem's called The Big Freeze.
Oh, crikey, really?
Yeah.
All right, well, I won't turn it up too high then.
Yeah.
And what I also want you to do is I want you to pick a song. Tell me a song you'd like to hear us, you know, for us to play on the radio so we can get that ready as well.
One that you've got, you mean?
Yeah, well,
I mean, put it this way: you can play anything but Alex Harvey, and I would be perfectly happy.
Anything but Alex Harvey.
Anything of Alex Harvey.
Oh right, okay,
yeah.
All right, I'm pretty sure we've got plenty of Alex Harvey. But
I've told my family that his song Anthem is to be played at my funeral.
Right.
So don't play that one. Otherwise, there'll be a few people running down the road buying flowers.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just tapping into the machine there, trying to find an Alex Harvey track, and we'll find that. And then when we come out of the ad break in a commercial break, we'll have some Alex Harvey and the sensational Alex Harvey.
Definitely.
Same bloke, aren't they?
Yeah.
One's sensational and one's not.
Yeah, well, it's after he died.
We got loads. Yeah. I didn't realise just how much we got. We got obviously the Delilah and
that's my ringtone.
The Boston Tea Party. We got Faith Healer next.
Oh no, don't play that. It's got bad language in it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right. I can now check to see what playlist this comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And see what. So Faith Healer's got bad language in it.
No. Next has.
Next.
Yeah.
Next has got bad. I'll check that out and I'll get back to you. But. That sounds like a Gordon Cooper job.
It's not mega bad, but by today's standards, it will probably offend somebody.
Okay.
You know?
Word beginning with?
No, he talks about sexually transmitted diseases.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
But then, when you think about it, when you hear things like Jilted John, and at the end, he goes on a rant, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You're this, you're that.
Yeah.
And we play that.
Oh, well, play next then. play it next.
All right, okay, we might not.
it's about an army. It's about a bloke in the army. That's all it is.
All right.
And about how things happened to him when he was a young boy in the army. That's all it is.
Okay, all right. We go for it. It's over to you then. I'm gonna don't be alarmed. I'm going to get up. Just do a bit of Hoover and a sweeping.
Right.
And put the fan on.
Right. Well, here we go for the big freeze. Have you got your ears plugged out? Right. In 1962, I was 7 and had not turned 8. I was woken one early morning by the spring on the front gate. I peered at the window, but I could not see right through. The window, it was iced up, and on the inside of it too. I breathed a large sigh, and my breath, it made a cloud. The room was so cold, I called my mum out loud. Mum, it's so cold, I'm freezing up here. Come down to the kitchen, son, it's much warmer in there. I ran down the wooden stairs as fast as I could. No carpet then, just lino, and that was all no good. The kitchen was much warmer, the old fire, it was lit. Huddled all around it, the family, they did sit. Come on, make room, my mother called out, but little space for me, and my cold ears stood out. Oh, well, I missed a bit out there. Anyway, my dad then came in with some old frozen logs. They were shoved in the hearth on the old fire dogs. My mum made some tea, and we all had a drink, but she needed the hot water to unfreeze the sink. The robins were huddled in the conservatory gutter. Once in a while, their wings, they would flutter. I chucked out some crumbs, but it didn't fly down. They just all seemed frozen in winter's white gown. I ran out to the garden, but the snow was so deep, it was up past my knees and I fell in a heap. But I wanted a snowman and we all got stuck in. We had coal for his eyes and a scarf round his chin. That was all fun at the end of the year, but after 2 months, the fun turned to fear. 63 came, the snow still on the ground, and we were all frozen, and ice did abound. The milkman's cart made the hill, but he had on chains. We dare not do the washing, as it all froze in the drains. The postman slipped over, the front path was lethal. The dustman never came, but the ashes were useful. My snowman was still there, but he had been much perused. The coal in his eyes had long since been used. Fuel was so short, we got it where we could, from the local gasworks. On the old pram it stood. 63 was a hard year. The sun hardly shone. The skies were all grey, but the memories linger on. The train robbers were planning for their heist late at night. John F. Kennedy was murdered in that brutal Dallas light. 1963 was a hard year for us all in those times. But the hardships are forgotten. We just remember the crimes.
God, that was deep.
And it's blinking cold in here at the moment, mate.
Is that all right?
Next.
Is it too cold for you now?
It's
all right, is it?
It's handsome.
Do you want to move?
It's handsome.
Move it away further from you.
No, it's handsome, it is.
How long did it take you to write that?
10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Yeah.
So when you just get inspiration and stop down tools doing it?
Yeah, I just sat down at the computer and I thought, oh, it's another one I wrote there. I'll write a couple while I'm sitting there.
Just, why not? Well,
rather than do the paperwork for my job, which I can't stand doing, which is kind of ironic. I can't stand doing paperwork for my electrical job, yet I'll sit there and write a blinking poem. Madness, isn't it?
Send the tax peeps your poem, see how you get on.
Oh, I used to send them to the water ball when I was complaining.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I think the council have had a few before now as well off of me.
Have they?
Yeah. Normally quite rude as well, but they're all in rhyme.
Well, entertaining.
Well.
That's what it is, isn't it? How long have you been doing this?
Well, we used to do it when I was at school.
Right.
It was part of English at school. Remember that thing you used to do at school called English?
Yeah, Miss Want was my English teacher. Yeah.
Want by name and want by nature. But we used to do it at school, and sometimes you had to write a poem, and that's what you did. So, I just love English language. I love the words. I don't want to learn other languages. I don't need to know about French. I don't need to know about German and Spanish and all them other ones. I'm quite happy with my own language, thank you very much. You know? And there's so much to learn. I mean, you can pick up a great big book called a dictionary.
Yeah.
And you can, if you don't know what a word means, you can learn about it, what it means. And there's nearly always, in the English language, at least two words to describe something. You know?
Do you think that we've reached this bit where, you know, I was trying to look, see whether you'd handwritten those or typed them out yourself?
Oh, I typed them out. I can't read my writing.
So, yeah, right, okay. which is interesting, because it's all the same issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we don't write enough, so therefore we probably don't, we're not bright enough. You know, it's all very well getting spell checker to check things, but
we don't
do enough of those things anymore, the simple basics.
As you well know, I am the one who sends texts with punctuation.
Yeah, you're the only one.
And capital letters and apostrophes. Because that's how we did it at school. I got an O level at English at school. I wasn't a dunce completely.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't do very well, so I'll be less. I, honestly, whenever if you get anything from me, it's never punctuated.
No, I know.
Never. It's always when Dominic Cole does the website, and I'll send him stuff that they put on it. He'll always send a message back saying, "Don't worry, I've punctuated it."
Yeah. It's all. I mean, it's all part and parcel. We have got ourselves in this country a language which is universally accepted and. In most places, apart from France, it's acknowledged, you see. And why not? It makes the whole planet be able to talk to each other. Why would you set your children up with a language that hardly anybody can understand?
Yeah, it's true.
Teach them its history, but don't make them speak in it all the time like the Welsh do.
Yeah.
That's upset somebody already, isn't it? Eh?
Hello, Boyle. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with the sensational Alex Harvey band, a surprise for you. All right.
Lovely.
But it's a safe one. Okay. And most of them are about 25 minutes long anyway, aren't they?
Well, Anthem is. That's why they're going to be half dead by the time they've carried me down to church. But I won't worry about that.
All right. Back in a tick. Vex's Radio
104.6. For the people. By the people.
Joe, I must admit, so far you've picked two songs. And they do sound a little bit alike.
Do they?
Yeah, two blokes that can't really sing, but you can't help, you know, admiring them for giving it a go. And plus they can, you know,
well,
it's
all
right.
What is singing? It's singing in tune, maybe, but why not shout a few things? I mean, what did the Sex Pistols do? They didn't sing, did they? They shouted.
They did, yeah. No, you're right.
And, I mean, you know, if you're going to look back for singing, what did Freddie Mercury do? He had a loud voice, but he shouted a lot, you know? So, if you want to sort of look for your singers, you've got to start going for Matt Munro, haven't you? Great voice, Matt Munro, on Days Like These.
Oh, yeah.
That should have been something to do with James Bond, shouldn't it, rather than, you know. But, I mean, what a fantastic voice. It's a shame his son's got no voice at all, isn't it? Eh? He's got all the act, but no voice.
Hey, look, we were just chatting, because I was in the process of listening to, and I'm pretty sure this is where I got it from. The other day I thought of you, because I know what you used to do. You used to, you're an electrician now, but didn't you do lights or something
for
a lot of bands?
Well, I used to do what's called the follow spot. And also the rigging as well. But the follow spot is the guy who sits up in the turret with a great big torch, pointing it at the people on the stage and being directed to where you point it and stuff like that. But in them days, and I used to do it, we used to do it with carbon arcs. Nowadays, it's all done with a switch, turn it on and point it. We had a carbon arc. We had to keep the rods burning and everything in them days. That was quite hard work, but we got paid for it.
Now, I was listening to my audio book. It's a Gary Kemp one. And Gary Kemp refers to, and I don't know whether this is the time or not, thinking about it now, it's probably not the right time, I don't know, but I know that Gary Kemp was talking about Boy George getting bailed out, or that's not the term he used.
No.
Someone having a go at him over some lights.
Yeah.
And they said, they used the term, and this is probably the reason why, forgive me, this is the reason why I thought of you, a light jockey that was thick set. went down and had a go at Boy George.
No, it weren't me.
It wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
Right.
I did have a go at Boy George, but not him personally, over a lighting set once, which I described as like looking into a box of Quality Street, because the colours were just ridiculous. But I think it upset the lighting man, because I think he was quite favourable with Boy George at the time. But he had only just come in as Culture Club then, so it was a bit of a novelty act, I think, at the time.
Well, do you know what? It wouldn't have been long before, because the time that they referred to, it wasn't Culture Club, obviously, but it was a couple of years before, was the Blitz, because they did this, not the wartime Blitz, but they used to have a couple of clubs around the country called Blitz, and it was like for the freaky futuristic movement, and he was very much a part of that with Steve Strange and a few others.
Steve Strange.
musically. Yeah. I mean, those times were fantastic. I love those old tunes.
Was it singing though?
Wow,
Boy George can sing.
Yeah, he's got a good voice.
You know, that's fair play to him. Boy George can sing, and he's also a big bloke. You wouldn't want to take him on in a fight, I'll tell you that.
A boxer, wouldn't he?
Oh, he's well over 6 foot tall. He's a big guy, he is.
Like me.
Yeah.
6 foot. Yeah. Hey, look, before we do another poem, you've done the lights for many a peeps in. When did you stop doing that?
The trouble is it's arduous work and it's also long hours and breathing in all them fumes and all the spotlights as well. but I think probably one of the last ones I did was a setup for the Rolling Stones at Wembley Stadium.
Oh, wow.
That's one of the last ones I was on. But I didn't actually work on it. But it started making the concerts bigger and they were putting them in the stadium. We had Rod Stewart in there and the Farewell to Wham, where they had to cut the pickup off of Ridgely's guitar because he couldn't play a note and it was coming over out of tune and all that sort of business. but, you know, I don't miss it. It was good fun at the time, but it spoilt me because I didn't then want to pay money to go and see anybody because I'd already seen them for free. But if you want to pick highlights, Carlos Santana.
Yeah.
Oh, I've paid money to go and see him since a couple of times. He's a favourite of mine, Carlos Santana. Definitely. Anybody who plays guitar has got to listen to Carlos Santana. You know?
Right.
There's just no two ways about it, you know?
Okay.
But AC/DC.
Right, okay.
My job was to put the pin spot on Angus's bottom when he bared it before they went off stage. He'd take his trousers down and moon at the audience, and I had to pin spot his backside.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you do that every night?
Every night. It had to be in blue as well. It couldn't be in any other colour.
It's resident that on your CV.
Yeah,
reading that.
Pin spotting Angus's backside. I think there's a poem in that somewhere.
I think you ought to work on it straight away. Talking of poems, have you got another one for us?
Yeah. Well, this is one I did the other day. This is called "The Boys Are Back in Town."
All right.
It starts right at daybreak, an infernal din, banging the windows and trying to get in. The mirrors are well trashed and so is the glass. Why do we put up with this daily farce? But what do they do, old Ronnie and Reg? Why don't they fly off and sit in the hedge? The mess that is left is like a painter gone wild with a tin of emulsion and the mind of a child. And as for the guts and the blood and all that, I'm even tempted to go and buy a cat. Anything that will get rid of these pests. I've even hung out a row of high-vis vests. But on my insane attempts they pour scorn. I've sat in the dark with a rifle at dawn. Did they come by? Well, of course they did not. As soon as they left, they were round like a shot. At my wit's end and deprived of my sleep, I can't even rely on those long herds of sheep. I wish that just once they would both get run over. Then me and the missus would be sleeping in clover. But no, they're back here on the doors once again. I'm told they'll get fed up. Not this year, but when? What a truly bad sight I spied just this morn. 'Twas in the low light, and just before dawn, I saw an apparition. It filled me with peril, for there is now a third crow, and I call her Cheryl.
Yeah. All right, I like that. That's funny. You've written loads about Fanny Drudge. We should.
did you know that there's a Drudge's Bridge?
No, on the island, is
it? Yeah,
really?
If you go along the Fairlie Road and look over to where the old railway was opposite the roundhouse where they put the light farm, you can see the mortal remains of a bridge standing there, and that is Drudge's Bridge to Drudge's Farm. There's a Drudge's Bridge.
Obviously, you know, those just tuned in, and maybe we've only tuned in since we've gone on FM. I don't think we've mentioned Fanny Drudge too often. But the story was about 6 years ago, I came out of a pub that's no longer there up on Staplers. Princess Royal?
Yeah.
It would have been the Princess Royal. We walked along to Staplers, and as you get to Staplers from the pub, there is St. Paul's. And obviously in the grounds there are some stones, some tombstones in there. And there was one, the only one I could make out, because they're all quite old, was the one belonging to Fanny Drudge. And I was just intrigued because obviously it's an Isle of Wight name. And When I got home, I typed in to Google Fanny Drudge, and my wife looked over my shoulder and wondered what I was doing. So I had to explain the whole story. And the more you read about the Drudges, it's a big Isle of Wight name, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now you're finding out that they've even got a bridge after them as well.
Yeah, well, that was Drudge's Farm, apparently.
Drudge's Farm?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's why she was probably buried around the corner, isn't it? She ain't come far from the home, is she? But, I took it as a task, didn't I, for about 50 days to send you a poem.
Oh, you did?
Mentioning Fanny Drudge every single day. It was getting a bit desperate sometimes, but one or two I was quite proud of. I think the one, I can't remember the words now, but I think the one where I implied that you might have been their love child was probably my favourite.
I've probably still got it.
Well, there you go, you see. If anything happens to me, if you hear old Alex Harvey playing his anthem, you better publish it quick.
there was one almost every day for about 50 days, and you could have done a book on it. They were so funny. Have you kept any?
No.
You haven't kept any? You didn't do that thing where you had the Fanny Drudge, the Book of Fanny Drudge?
No. The weirdest thing is, it was silly little couplets, really, just things that rhyme. I think it started off with trying about there was a young lass from Newport and things like that. And I thought, well, from that point onwards, I'm sure I can expand it a little bit. I still do it occasionally, but I can't, you know, it's just, you've got to be in the mood for that sort of thing.
Okay, all right.
But
have you got another one there handy?
I got a little thing here, which is...
You know what Shirley would do now, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you've got a little thing.
She'd be giggling away like the eighth dwarf, wouldn't she, eh?
Pick another song, though, so I can find that.
Anything by Harry Chapin.
Harry Chapin.
Yeah, the morning DJ of WOLD.
Right, okay.
How about that? You try and find that.
All right.
Again, a lot of his stuff is quite dark, but he used to sing Lifetime Stories, and he'd done some great stuff about the Vietnam War and about the taxi driver, but his particular good one, up to my mind, was he sung about a sniper who had a poor life, and in the end he decided to make a name for himself and climbed a tower and shot a load of people in a thing, which is quite relevant to today, you know?
Yeah, we've got lots of Harry.
Well, if you've got Sniper there, it goes on a little bit, but I'll give you this one, because people contact me as well, and this one actually... It's only a little thing, but it ties in my hobbies. And it was said to me by an old guy from Leicester. And he'd seen me on the telly, and he thought I might like this little tiny poem, which was written in the trenches in the 1418 war.
Right.
Okay. And it's called The Pillarbox of Red. And it says, "It holds a thousand secrets, does that pillarbox of red. It knows which lads are coming home, which lasses will be wed. It keeps love letters safely and never breathes a word. Of all those quaint and tender things its ears have often heard. But sometimes it could cry and sob at letters rude and unkind, until a cheery picture postcard cries, 'Buck up, never mind.' So when you lovers quarrel, don't send a line in spite and drop it in that pillar box. Just think before you write. Remember, harsh and bitter things are better left unsaid. For what you post, you can't get back from that pillar box of red." And that was written in the trenches in the 1480 war.
Wow. Yeah, that was...
poignant.
Yeah, very, very. Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with Harry Chapin.
Chapin.
Okay. A song you probably heard before, but I've never heard him do this song before. All right, that's on the way in 2 ticks.
Vectors Radio. 104.6. The island's community.
Just like me, my boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time there.
Didn't know that he actually wrote that, so I've learnt something today, and so have you, listener. Harry Chapin and Cats in the Cradle, and that's another song that you've picked today.
Yes.
We've got Arthur in. Arthur is in from the Post Office Museum. I was just remembering, I used to work at another radio station. You came in, and it was filmed by...
Yeah, I've never seen it. Century 21, TV 21, something like that?
Solent TV, I
Solent
think it
TV,
was.
That's yeah. it, yeah.
I've
yeah.
got it at home.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Because I do say something horrible in it to you. And
you probably do.
I should apologise.
That's all right. I don't worry me.
I just said, if you want to know what he looks like, you look on the telly, and you'll probably think, when you're watching it, you'll probably think you're watching a Shrek.
Yeah. That's right, but unfortunately, I'm not quite... I'm a bit bigger than Wayne Rooney these days.
Well, just a little bit. I mean, he's shrinking, yeah. isn't he, Rooney?
Oh, that's, I think that's his hair. I think his forehead, isn't it?
Yeah. And we got you in to talk about all sorts of stuff. You mentioned that... We'll do some more poems in a minute, but you mentioned some lights there, and, you know, you used to do the lights for a variety of acts, one of them being... Santana?
Carla Santana, yeah.
And did you ever do Dire Straits?
Yeah, every single night at Wembley. Another one of my favourite bands. I love Dire Straits.
We were talking about them recently, and do you think there's ever a chance that they'll ever get back together again?
Well, there's two brothers that don't like each other again. It's a common theme, isn't it, in music, where you've got people that don't like each other, especially when they're related.
Yeah.
You know, and the two brothers fell out. But, I mean, if they were headlining at the Isle of Wight Festival... Sorry, boys, who I give my tickets to, you won't be getting them. Because I would go over to see Dire Straits.
Yeah, definitely.
But the chances of that happening, I would think, are pretty slim. Unless old Giddings can pull that rabbit out of the hat for next year, but I wouldn't think so, because I've not heard nothing to that.
He's done a lot of solo stuff himself.
Yeah, it's not bad. Some of it's pretty like Lonnie Donegan's gone. That's trash. You know, he's wasted his talent on stuff like that. You know, the Mason Dixon line song's pretty good, and that, and it, you know, it's all right. He produces something, and it's probably got one or two worth listening to, and the rest you might as well just flip over, you know.
Okay,
but Dire Straits, love it.
Yeah,
love it.
See, I mean, there's been quite a few bands that have, you know, got back together again, and which is bands that you didn't think they ever would, and they've ended up, you know, the Police being one of them, Spandau Ballet as well. Dire Straits are probably one of those bands that, yes, and possibly Genesis too, that you'd love to see.
Genesis is going to be a... Which Genesis do you want to see back together again?
Not the one with Peter Gabriel in.
Yeah, but he's also got another of my favourite songs, the Lawnmower Song.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but when you see him on the telly, he shaved the middle of his head off and was wearing a fireman's helmet when he was singing it.
Yeah.
You know, he was when you see him now, right?
Yeah.
And the trouble with modern technology is what you say once is out there forever. And Peter Gabriel had quite a nasty lyric in one of his first songs on his own, which was eradicated but is still out there. And it's Games Without Frontiers.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yeah, he changed the lyrics. So if you find the one with his face on the front and it looks like it's been smeared, don't play that one.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. All right, because he's changed the lyrics.
Thanks for the warning.
Yeah. But you see, bearing in mind what he did for Stephen Biko and stuff like that, and yet he's got lyrics like that in his first song when he's on his own. So you think, well, hang on a minute, mate, you know, careful what you wish for.
Yeah, definitely. All right. You got another poem?
I've got hundreds of poems, but I can give you this one. I wrote this one for a lady who had a sweetie shop.
Right. Do we know her?
No.
Is it a local sweetie shop?
Not
or
anymore.
Or just a sweetie shop? It's gone.
It's called Wicked Decadence.
Right.
Unwrap the little beauty. Smell the sweet stickiness. That lustful look, that longed-for desire. The saliva that runs and puddles at the front behind the lips. The expectation is immense. The presence is just too great. It simply has to be done. Open wide, in it goes. Red lips close effortlessly around the soft brown package. And then, the taste. Oh, the taste. Heaven in a bite. The senses come alive as the teeth start to become involved. A bite, a chew. Even more sensory than last time, a piece of heaven, a slice of the best that life can ever be. And yet, there's more. More. I want more. I want another piece. And another. I want to stuff myself until I feel physically sick, and probably will be. But I want more of this devilishly wicked substance. I want to smear it all over my face. I want to bath in it. I want more. And yes, and more. I've died and gone to heaven. I have... the taste. Oh, that taste. But it's all gone. No! I've eaten the last piece, and I haven't got over the first one yet. Whatever am I to do? I need another fix. At last I can understand the cravings of a junkie for drugs, or a smoker for a fag. I want more. I want more. More chocolate. More taste. More heaven.
You was getting into that, weren't you?
No, that's just an act.
All right. Last time you came in, I think you did them all from, like, memory.
Memory. I'm getting old, Ian. I can't remember. I've got so much in the brain, you know?
I know you've got loads there. Have you got any, like... How sad am I that I keep texts from people? I've got just going through yours, because I'm trying to find a family drudge one.
Yeah, you've got to find ones that aren't rude as well.
Well, I've got to pre-read them as well, but you just sent me a message. I'm back as far as October 2016.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, okay, I've just returned to... just had a little look in the county press or something, and there's all these names.
The kids' names.
Kids' names of the Isle of Wight.
Oh, the kids' names. Some of these parents shouldn't be allowed out. They shouldn't be allowed out. For anybody that doesn't buy the county press, you have to buy the county press when they put the new intake of the children in there. There's pages and pages of all these lovely little darlings all starting school for the first time. But you parents, what you call your kids, oh, God, it makes me laugh, though. Some of them, I don't think you'd better read some of them out, Ian, but some of them names are just ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, there's no thought for the child. In some cases, some of them names, I would even go as far as say, that's bordering on child abuse for some of them names, you know. But, I mean, people call their children by names these days, which when I was a kid were actually names for parts of the body, particularly the male appendages. And you think, the boy's been called that? Christ, what are you going to get when he goes to school? You know?
I'm not going to do that.
No.
There are a couple that I look at and I think, I mean, who calls their son Ernest these days?
Well, you know, that's quite normal compared to some of them.
That's the most normal one of all.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to my mind, if you've got a long surname, a short Christian name goes quite well. You don't want long Christian names and long surnames, and you don't want short Christian names and short surnames, because people will insert letters and words into them. You know, so people like me will get hours of mirth from it, I'm sorry to say. One of these days I'm going to meet one of these kids and they're going to be about twice as tall as I am and they're going to say, you laughed at my name when I was a nipper.
Yeah, it was called...
Laugh at that.
Yeah, they called me Perry Perry.
Yeah, that's probably in there, that one is. No, they don't think, though. Some of the people just don't think.
No.
When you know, and even when you look at the initials, you have to put the initials together and see what comes up. Because kids are always going to be the same, however, whatever time you're living in. You know, kids are going to make fun of you. If you've got something wrong with you or different, you will be made fun of. And if you've got a silly name, you're going to get made fun of.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. There was a load there. And I'm guessing this is a... We're almost reaching that time when they put these names in, because obviously the new kids can't wait.
I can't wait.
Yeah. It's the highlight of the year, that is. I'm only back to 2016, and I know the stuff. How sad is it? I'll keep all of your texts.
Yeah, well, it shows the dear listener that there must be something of interest there, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely, but maybe next time when you come in, I'll have them, and because I've gone back to 2016, I haven't found them yet. I'm pretty sure it's about 2014 and 15 that those will. So can we have one more quick one before we go?
A quick one?
Yeah, it has to be a quick one.
Oh, blimey, I don't know if I've got a quick one. I think mine are all far too long to be quick ones.
Okay. Well, look, because we've literally got 35 seconds now.
35 seconds? No, I haven't got one that's that short. Said the art mistress to the gardener.
Boom, boom. Will you come back?
Of course I will. You know I will.
That'd be great, because come out for a lunchtime social discussion, which is what we're going to be calling it from next week. So if you come back, you know, you get to pick some of your tunes as well.
LSD.
LSD, yeah. I still want it to be LSD, because you just want it to sort of border on...
Nice
lunchtime social discussion.
Yeah, it's not LSD at all. Not Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, is it? Eh?
At all. Hey, look, thanks for coming in, Arthur.
You're more than welcome.
And we'll see you again soon. Stand by, because Tom and Laura are on the way with the afternoon show.
Radio FM 104.6.